Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The city of Fayetteville, Arkansas, recently passed an ordinance that is one of the most broad ordinances regarding the gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation, and it even, in this case, applies to churches. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber as we talk about this 6-2 vote passed, and now the citizens are gathering signatures. They need 4,900 signatures, Matt, to put this on the November ballot in order to repeal it. They only have a window of 39 days from the time that it's passed. So sometime mid-September is when they have to have at least 4,900 signatures. The pastors are in outrage, as well as the community, because this is a exceptionally broad ordinance.
Yeah, broad, obtrusive, draconian. I mean, how many words can you use to apply to this? You know, we have said all along that the radical sexual anarchy movement, ultimately their end game, the end goal here, is the criminalization of Christianity. And Matt, my understanding is that this is one of the first, if not the first, of such gender neutral, gender identity, so forth, all that nonsense, ordinances that actually have accompanying it criminal penalties if you do not comply.
Is that right? This ordinance is so broad and it is so intrusive and punitive that it is unbelievable. First of all, it has sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. Those three terms are all added into this ordinance. And this ordinance says that you cannot discriminate on the basis of various things, including sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, not only in employment, but also in places of public accommodation. Now, gender identity and gender expression are defined to mean that it's anything that you perceive yourself to be or want yourself to be, irrespective of your biological birth sex. So it doesn't matter whether you're dressing like a woman and therefore you look like a man in a woman's dress, or you look like a man in a business suit. If it's in your head that you think that you are a woman, you need to be treated like a woman.
So your gender identity doesn't have to be your gender expression. In other words, whatever subjectively you feel that day, any given day, and it could change from day to day.
Yeah. So if you want to literally use the women's shower room, locker room, restroom, fitting room, then you can walk in there with your suit and tie on, clearly identified as male, not even wearing lipstick or a wig or a dress or high heels, whatever you want to put on, clearly identified as a male. And when the person says, excuse me, the men's restroom, the men's shower, the men's fitting room is over there, you are violating the ordinance by doing that. You must allow this individual to walk into the women's restroom, shower room, fitting room.
So if there are women in an open showering facility, fully naked, showering, and a man walks in and gets fully naked and walks into the showers with them, and the proprietor or even a church, you mentioned even in a church, so the pastor comes in and says, what are you doing? Calls the police. Get out of here. They've moved have the person removed. That pastor has committed a criminal act.
Yeah, that what happens in this particular case is churches are exempt only to this extent with regards to employment. And then let me also talk about public accommodation. With regards to public accommodation, let me do that first. Places of meetings are allegedly exempt. But restrooms obviously are not places of meetings. They're not where you conduct meetings. So the restroom, the shower room, the locker room in your church or in your church school is open game for men to come into the women's facilities. And if the women come rushing out and they complain to the pastor, Pastor, there's a man in our restroom. He's on robing. He's undressing. He's taking a shower in the locker room with the other girls that are there, or women that are there, then if the pastor or someone from the church goes in and says, excuse me, you need to move out of here. This is not where you're supposed to be. The pastor of the church commits a violation. Now, if the person then appointed by the mayor, the person who applies this ordinance, contacts the church because they get a complaint, and the church says, yes, that's our position, you can't do that. Or if the individual says, let me say, is your position I can't use the women's restroom? And you say, that's correct, or let me think about it. Every day that goes on that you don't allow this person to do what that person wants to do is a fine of $250. In other words, $8,500 per month. And if you don't remedy the situation, if you don't reverse your position, then it gets referred to criminal prosecution. It gets referred to the local prosecutor, and you will be criminally prosecuted for failing to remedy the situation. If the person that's appointed contacts you after receiving a complaint and you don't reverse your position, it gets referred to a criminal prosecutor, and you will then be prosecuted criminally, not just civilly, but criminally.
Matt, this is a harbinger of larger ordinance of policies around the country. This is what they ultimately want with ENDA, the Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act. This is the sexual anarchist movement's attack on reality, but more but larger than that, attack on God's design for human sexuality, for male, for female, trying to make everything gender neutral and create an androgynous society, running against reality that everybody knows to be true. It's the emperor in the emperor's new clothes meets George Orwell. What I mean by that is everybody is forced under penalty of law, it's Orwellian here, to engage a delusion, a mass delusion under penalty of law, under criminal penalty of law. We have lost our minds as a nation.
Criminal penalty of law. There's several things I've never seen. I've never seen sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, all in the same ordinance. So this thing is huge in terms of its breadth. You cannot even predict whether someone is thinking something. If there is a problem with the employee, if you're having somebody that's an employee, and it's not to do with any of this, the employee can say, oh, you're terminating me. You're not giving me a raise. You're not giving me a promotion, because it must be of your perception of my sexual orientation, my gender identity, my gender expression. Because in the employment context, the church has the burden to prove that the position that is at issue is a religious position, an extension of the church ministry. So, for example, a church secretary would probably not be exempted. So your secretary that you take into the counseling room with you when you're counseling women could be a person who is a woman, if it's your secretary, or a man, and they're dressing in the opposite sex, and they're in that counseling room with you. You're trying to counsel biblical material, biblical information to that person, and yet the person that's there with you is completely contrary to your values. In fact, the ordinance says that the burden is on the church to prove that the position of employment is a religious position. It applies to all other secular positions.
Unbelievable.
Without saying what is the determination for what's secular.
Well, the Peeping Tom lobby had to have been supporting this, because that means any man can now walk into the YMCA showering facility with women fully disrobed in the showers, just walk in and leer and get an eyeful, and all he has to say, even in his suit, is, hey, my gender identity is that of a woman.
That's right. I mean, so it applies across the board in Fayetteville, Arkansas, 6-2 decision vote. The people showed up and they stayed there till like 3 o'clock in the morning, and yet the people on the city council didn't listen. Well, several things have happened. Within a couple of days after that ordinance was passed, three people qualified to run against these individuals. Now we're involved, Liberty Council is, with people on the ground there in Arkansas to repeal this ordinance. We need 4,900 signatures by mid-September. I think we can get it, and this ordinance will be on the ballot in November. This is a shocking display of the radicalness of the homosexual agenda. I encourage you to go to libertycouncil.com or lc.org for more information about this and other issues. This is what we've said is coming. It's not just coming. It's not future. It's not hypothetical. It's here. I was recently in Arkansas speaking to several hundred pastors and church leaders, and we're mobilizing pastors and churches to get involved. We need to be proactive on this. We need to have people on the city council that understand worldview and do the right thing. We are working very diligently to get pastors and churches, and Christians and churches around the country motivated, educated, and mobilized to advance our Judeo-Christian values. For more information, visit our special website, pastorsandchurches.org. Pastorsandchurches.org. You can go to lc.org to see how you can get your pastor and your church engaged in the culture wars.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.